All right, you are going to be blessed today. If you have your Bibles, quickly let us start. Open to the book of Matthew chapter 13. Today I will not bother to do any much review. I will just continue what we have been discussing, lest I preach the same message again and again. And if you are listening to this, you don't know what we are up to this point, I recommend you just get the two previous messages from the beginning of the year. Oh, finally, I got a topic, all right, for this series. And it's a simple one. I've just decided to title it, We Have Overcome. All right? All right, like I said to you at the beginning, I'm speaking essentially, my focus is on the relationship, let me put it like this, the role that the devil plays in the life of Christians and the fact that the Christian has overcome and is seated in heavenly places far above the devil. I'm trying to emphasize to people that the devil is not a major prayer point. I'm trying to emphasize to believers that the devil is not their problem in life. I'm trying to help the people of God understand that it is wrong to take a whole night praying about the devil. It is wrong. I think it's utter joblessness and a sign of lack of understanding. You don't declare a fast to handle the devil. You do not declare fast over demons. You declare fast so that you might gain what? Understanding. If your life doesn't seem to have direction, if you have done all you know to do, and things are not working the way you expect them to work, if you have applied every principle you have been taught, and things are not responding the way you expect them to respond, if you're about to move from one season of life into another, you're about to leave school, you're about to finish NYSC, or people are asking you, come and marry me, you know, things like that. That is when you declare fast so that you can gain understanding. Are you getting my point? You don't know what to do next. You're in the place, you've been working in this place for the last 3 years, and in your heart you are dissatisfied. You are dissatisfied. You know something is not in order. You don't just get up and walk away. I heard a man once, now just to illustrate what I'm trying to say. He came to see another man. He said, the land is dry. And he realized that when the brook dried, the Elijah moved forward. So he decided he was about to move forward. So the man he came to see said, no, Elijah did not move forward. Elijah heard a word from the Lord. Are you getting my point? It wasn't the move forward that you copy. It's that what did Elijah hear that made him move forward? There are other people that the land was dry for. They tried to move forward and God said, don't go anywhere. Remember Isaac? God said, stay in that land. And there he planted and he flourished. So the fact that the land is dry is no proof that you should move forward. What I'm trying to say is that anytime you are not clear in your life concerning what you are supposed to do, anytime you are confused about what to do next in life, that's when Christians fast. That's when Christians take time out to pray. It's called waiting upon the Lord. I said to us that the primary focus in that situation is not hunger. The primary focus is focus. Did you hear what I said? The primary focus is what? Focus. You remove all distractions from your life. I'm going to talk about that today. You find out that one major thing the devil loves to give to people is distractions. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10 that Martha was encumbered, distracted by much serving. And Jesus said something to her. He used two words. He said, you are careful and troubled. Those two words struck me. I wrote them down. He said, you are careful and troubled. That's what the devil tries to do. He tries to make us care about many things and it troubles our minds. The whole aim is so that we don't hear the word from the Lord that will help us know what to do next. What am I saying? The devil is not your problem. The reason why you have failed is not the devil. The reason you have trouble is not because of generational curses. The reason why you have challenges is not because the devil is active on your side, on your case. No! I've been establishing that he does not have the kind of power that modern day Christianity, Pentecostalism especially, has given to him. Most Orthodox people don't know much about the devil like the Pentecostals do. You get to church, today all the enemies, listen, you will always have enemies. Did I hear an amen? Amen. I prophesy to you that your enemies shall increase in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? Because it is those people that are a sign that you are making progress. So I'm not prophesying directly about increase in enemy. Actually, I'm prophesying indirectly, you understand, about your increase in life generally. When you were born, nobody hated you. The nurse was relieved that, this one didn't die in my hands. Your mother was happy, say, oh, well, everybody was happy with you. Your enemies began as you began to grow. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Suddenly you have to start sharing things. Your neighbor, little boy too, wants something. You want it. Give me mine. You see, enemies have begun. When you were little, there were no enemies. As you grow, you begin to get enemies. So growth, all right, is reflected in the amount of people that don't like you. You will always have enemies, so don't worry about that. But if the ways of a man, if the ways of a woman pleases the Lord, all those enemies have no choice but to be at peace with that individual. Please, never pray that enemies will go away. They can't go away. They are part of life. God has an enemy. Jesus had enemies. In fact, Jesus said, listen, a lot of your enemies will come from your household. What I'm trying to say is that, listen, they are not the reason why you are not making progress. They do not have the power to retard your progress. Your glory will manifest with or without their presence. In fact, he said, he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He did not first banish them. My emphasis is, believers, you have overcome. You have what? Overcome. That's what we have been discussing. Let's continue from there. The Lord is good. Now, did I say she opened somewhere? Where? Matthew 13. Let's start from there. The book of Matthew chapter 13. Now, I've been saying that I want to talk about what the devil wants, what he tries to steal from your life. I like to say it again. The devil doesn't drive cars. Hear what I said? Therefore, he doesn't want your car. The devil is not going to marry a woman, so he doesn't want your wife. He's not going to have children, so there's nothing he's doing with your children. He's not going to marry a husband. Do you understand my point? So he doesn't have any business stealing your own. That is what he wants. For all the destruction in the life of Job, he didn't want anything to do with his wealth or his servants. There was just one thing Job had which he wanted. And that is the thing that's most precious. I need to emphasize it to us again today. So that we'll know how to fight our battles properly. Are you getting my point? You've heard the joke before. It happened recently in Nigeria. That time they increased fuel price. They say a man, his car was stolen. And he was chasing the car. He saw the car going. He was chasing the car. My fuel. You would have thought the car would have been the issue. Now, why do we laugh about it? I've been thinking about things that make something funny. It's because it's ridiculous. That's why it's funny. Are you getting what I'm saying? How can they take a car that's worth 2 million naira? No matter how much they are charging for fuel in Nigeria, 20,000 naira, you have filled your tank. So it is not right for a man to be running after a car as a thief is taking it away and shouting, my fuel. He should shout, my car. Do you get my point? Now, why am I saying that? Christians, oftentimes, that's what we do. We lose money and we're shouting, my fuel. Not realizing that when you lost money, are you getting my point? When you lost a job opportunity, when you lost, you wanted to marry, you had been nursing this relationship for 3 years. Then one moment, the girl said, I know they marry again. Are you following what I'm saying? That's your fuel. That is your fuel. What is more precious is a car. So when you lose those things, don't just say, listen, you can take the fuel, but this car, you ain't getting it. Grab that car, Mr. Devil, this car, you know, go touch him. What is the car? Your faith. What is the car? The word of God in your heart. And for your information, that's what the devil wants. He doesn't want all those other things that you think he's running after. Remember, I've been saying this. In fact, let me put it in order. Because that's what I want to talk about today. What the devil really wants. You will find out why he really wants it. That's actually the major thing I'm going to talk about. Why is it that's the thing he wants? Listen, what the devil wants is to steal the word that is planted in your heart. Let me say, that is summary of the fact. If you can get that point, today's message is over. All the devil wants is what?
that word. He wants to steal it. He wants to steal that word. He said, he comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You see something. I'll analyze as we go on. The main thing, all right, is that once he has stolen, the absence of the word leads to death and destruction. Are you getting my point? So it comes to steal. The consequence of his success in stealing is that death is introduced and destruction happens. It's not as if he steals the word. They say, now let me destroy. No. Once he takes that word, destruction follows. Once he takes that word, death follows. Israel and I were analyzing today Nigerian situation. Let me not get carried away. The amount of money that civil servants in federal civil service steal alone can pay for fuel subsidy. You read the story in the papers. How pension scheme, a review of pension scheme, they collected $2 billion in cash from a man working in this office of the head of service. The cartel operating in the office of the head of service was bleeding the federal government of 3.7 billion naira monthly. The one operating in police was bringing the federal government of 4.2 billion monthly. They had more ghost pensioners than living pensioners. And the ghost ones were any more than the living people, the real people. You will see that the power of the church, prayer is not the main thing. It's good, prayer is important. You see that the power of the church is to uphold the word in their own lives. An INEC commissioner, you heard the story, who was the redeemed pastor, had 1.something billion in his account. An INEC commissioner. It was when he died that the second wife and the first wife were fighting. A pastor. That we discovered the depths of corruption bro was in. I read the scripture for Israel today. Isaiah chapter 5, we'll read it. God said, woe to you. The destruction shall come upon you. You that amass wealth. Let me paraphrase now. He said, you add land to land, house to house, until others have nowhere to live. You want to the story? When the word is missing, the average man on the street becomes a criminal and automatically he destroys the country. Once the devil has stolen the word, you see what happens? We steal ourselves into destruction. We take money and build houses we cannot live in. You go to Abuja, they said housing in Abuja is very expensive. Last time I was there, as we were driving, one brother was showing me all the houses. He said, Pastor Banky, most of them are empty. I said, why? He said, the people that own it don't need it. They don't need the rent. Most of the money they use to buy it is stolen. It's not an investment for them. It's just a place to keep money. Therefore, they shut it. They lock it up. The natural laws of demand and supply. Oh God, you see, when first day there's no God, forget it. There's God. They say God has set, so even God is there. He has set things in motion. He has gone. It's not true. Because the natural law of demands and supply fails in Abuja. There's no law working. It's iniquity that is working. Are you getting my point? Why? Because the devil has stolen the word. He has stolen righteousness from people. We will bleed the country to death. My problem is not the word, I keep on saying. My problem is the church. When we become so blind and deaf that INEC commissioner makes it to become the rank of pastor amongst us, we should know we have a problem. How did we promote him? He was bringing money. We did not ask, sir, are you no longer a civil servant? When the devil, that's what I'm talking about, once he has stolen the word, destruction sets in. You will destroy yourself. You won't know why. It's simple because he has stolen. Are you getting my point? And that's what he's trying to do. That's what he's trying to do. He didn't come to steal anybody's car. Because if stealing cars is risky for the devil, because if he steals a car of a man like me, there's trouble for him because I will raise my hands and worship. Are you getting my point? I'm like Job. You take away the car, I will raise my hands and worship. Only one person can steal a car of somebody like me now. And that's God himself. He takes my things. He has blown my television before. God in heaven. Not the devil. He has blown my tire. God in heaven. The devil can't blow my tire. He's not that stupid. No, the devil can't. Listen. You see, he has enough sense to do it. If I blow this guy's tire, that's more Thanksgiving. The first thing I do, last time I was traveling, I just heard, my tire went down. Poo! I came out. I looked at the tire. The first thing I did was to laugh. Do you understand my point? So the devil knows. Don't take that guy's things. No matter what you take from him, what God gets is praise and thanksgiving. The most important thing is what? Faith. Is the word, and that's what the devil wants to steal. Because once he steals it, destruction and death is automatic. Are you getting what I'm saying? Please bear that in mind. Because I said that's the main thing I want to talk about today. What exactly is it that the devil wants to steal? He doesn't want your money. Sometimes we say that all the things you lost, this year you will recover it. You should know the thing you lost. Are you getting my point? Before you start running after things that God took out of your life so as to save your life. There are many friendships that are designed to destroy you. God took them out of your life so as to save your life. The last place you were fired from, that job was not going to lead you anywhere in life. You did not know it. Your problem was that there was security there. So you wanted to die for the security. And God says security is found only in me. So first thing is that I take it away from you so that your eye go clear. Do you get my point? There was one man, a big man of God now, but he's cool. His head is very, very, cool now, cool. He was rising up the ladder in a denomination. Then one day God sacked him. The devil can't sack you, I hope you know. Unless you are his child, you are his friend, you are walking together, you are walking in sin, that's when he can sack you. If you are walking in righteousness and walking with the word of God, the devil can't. Every sacking in your life is of God. If it wasn't of God, you'll get it back. Did you hear what I said? Yes. If it's not of God, it can't go away. I'm not saying praying about it. Listen, if God places you here in a place, say, this job, I gave it to you. Me, I gave it to you. Are you getting my point? And you're walking in righteousness and integrity. And then one day you wake up, you've been fired, and it's not of God. And you don't pray, you just go back home and you go and sleep. And you wake up and say, you know, they go walk. He said, then sack me. And you go back home and go and sleep. You know what will happen? While you are sleeping, they will call you back to that job. If they don't, it is God that said the time is over. Take that from me. I mean every single word of it. We have magnified the devil too much in Christianity. They give you a query at work. The devil that wants to take my job. I'm telling you, you will not succeed. Not banking. There are prayers you don't hear from my mouth. I don't have to tell the devil he will not succeed. He cannot succeed. Is he mad? He can't succeed. I told the story before once. I thought it was a good job. Then I just finished NYC in Ikeja in Lagos. In Lukeju in Lagos. The man conducted the interview. He so loved me, he asked a question. When I gave him the answer, he said, you must have gone to a good school. I was a fresh post NYC medical doctor. He asked me something on the treatment of typhoid and diagnosis of typhoid fever. I still remember very well. I knew the popular opinion and I knew it was wrong.
So I used some sense to answer the question. I said, I didn't want to tell him my opinion flat in case he's of the old school. So I said, sir, what I was taught in school, my lecturer that handled that subject said, and I quoted what Dr. Olumu said. That was the lady who taught us the course in school. When I finished, the man nodded, said, you must have gone to a good school. Because he was happy that somebody knew this thing. By the time I left, listen, the man, the receptionist and the secretary, they told everybody that came after that they don't need the doctor again, they have gotten one. Except that the day I came to start work, the man told me they don't need me anymore. I didn't understand. I won't bore you with the details. What I want to say to you is how I responded when I was leaving. I went with a car that day, my cousin's car that I took. And as I was driving, I remember as I was driving away. Listen, my friends went to look for me there because I told them this is where I work now. No, this thing was so sure. When I told the man who was like his secretary, the man, he was confounded that listen, doc, everybody that came after you, I told them we had already employed somebody. That he doesn't understand. And they were talking like they talk. I couldn't get the point. But this was the issue. As I was leaving that day, I was driving away. I said, these were my words. I'm not adding to it. I'm not taking from it. I mean, I've rearranged a bit, but this was what I said. I said, Lord, you see that admin manager? I want to hate him. I said, Lord, I want to see him on the road and run him over with this car. I said, Lord, I want to see him in trouble and refuse to help him. See that MD? I want to hate him. I said, Lord, but I can't. I said, Lord, I can't because I can see your hand in this thing. You took this job away from me. You can have it. Listen, that was 1993-94. I knew how not to worry about the devil long ago. In my personal life, the devil knows his boundaries. I knew it long ago. I remember walking away. Just for information, years later, one of my friends, Judah Bonner, I was telling him the story. He said, what hospital? I mentioned, he said, thank God he didn't take the job. Those guys never pay salaries. This was after I reached Enugu. I came to Enugu in the year 2000. So this was years after, close to 10 years after or more. We're just discussing. And I told him, he said, oh, they were my customers. Because he was a farm rep. So I know the man very well. That was not a good place to work. Listen, did it affect my attitude? This was more than 10 years after. So it was irrelevant. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, I'm not of the school of faith. You know, the school of the Bible, word of faith school that says that God does not only, he doesn't. Listen, God always does good. His good does not always feel like good. Did you hear what I said? He always does good, except that he does not always feel like good. You know you are attaining spiritual maturity when in the midst of your pain, you can bow down and worship God. Do you get my point? So when people say that, you know, there's a joke those days. That joke was called Taisho Larin in Nigeria. How many of you remember Taisho Larin? He said there was no God. Somebody said, why did he say there's no God? He said, because he prayed for something and God did not give it to him. You know, there are things that they don't deserve an intelligent man's response. Many times my son or some of my children, they've asked me for things and I refused. Does that mean I have vanished? You go and meet Akinlu, say there's no daddy. Why? Because he wanted something and daddy said, no, you can't have it. Now goes to school. So my mother is a widow. They said, why? Say there's no more dad in the house. Say, what happened? Was he sick? Say, no, was he sick? I just asked him for something. He didn't give it to me. That means he's not there. How can an adult, an educationist, tell me that is proof that there's no God? You must be in a cult called No God. Yes, they exist. They've told him, listen, we'll make you prominent. Just go around telling everybody there's no God. I'm serious. It sounds like a joke, but the devil does things like that. So you want money? Yes, I'll give you everything you want. The only thing you do for me, everywhere you go, say to people, there's no God. Like one film we're seeing in my house, there is no God, there are no angels, and there's no hope. And time I see that portion, I laugh. My wife said, why? I said, that there's no hope. It makes me laugh. Yes, that's a consequence of the idea that you say there's no God. What am I saying? God is in charge of your life, not the devil. Let me get to the first thing I actually wanted to teach today. And listen to this. I want to tell you three things that are the sources of problems in the lives of believers. Problems in quotes. Because it is to us that it appears like a problem. They are challenges. But these are the things I want to say. Listen, you know, I keep on emphasizing it. I am not a teacher of Muslims. If you are in Boko Haram, I'm not your teacher. I only teach believers, and I'm telling them what God says about them. I don't know the... So I'm not discussing, I may know it, but I'm not discussing the sources of problems in the lives of unbelievers. I am saying if you are a child of God, if you indeed have given your life to Christ, these are the only three places that problems come from into your life. And the problem is in quote. Sometimes there are good things you think they are problems. In fact, one of them, James, said it like this, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials, when you fall into diverse temptations. Like I said, God doesn't give commandments concerning that which is natural. If your natural response would have been to be happy, he wouldn't bother to tell you be happy. When it says rejoice always, it means a lot of times you will feel like crying. That's what it means. So he said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. It means that trials don't feel like joy. They feel like pain. They feel like making you sad. It appears like you start crying. So James said, count it all joy. In James chapter 1, he said, because the trial of your faith is bringing out something more precious than gold out of your life. Say, it works out patience. We'll get down to it in a moment. Let me list the three things. Now, this one is a real problem. The first one. The source of real problems. This one is not figurative problem. True problem. Challenges. Kata-kata. Hassle. Harassment. In the lives of problem believers, the first source is lack of knowledge. I'm explaining this so as to bring them as the real problems that's instead of the devil. The devil is not the problem. Do you get what I'm saying? The devil is not your problem. These are the things that cause problems. Real problems start from number one, lack of knowledge. Let's read that one first. Isaiah chapter 5. Of course, we can also find that one from the one that most of us know very well. Hosea chapter 4. I think it was last year. I explained what it means to follow the Lord fully. Can you remember it? I said that when you say you are following God, there are different ways you follow God. We started from the book of Psalms 119, and we picked about four or five words, I think four of them, to use to explain what it means to follow God fully. We started by remembering what was said in Numbers 13 and 14 at Kadesh Barnea, when the 12 spies went to go and spy the land. As a consequence of his testimony before the people, Joshua, especially Caleb, all right? Caleb himself said it later to Joshua. Moses testified about it. God testified about it. We studied it then. That Caleb followed the Lord fully. And we said because of that, he had the strength to take on giants. That the name of a land was changed because of the strength that God gave to him. He said the place formerly was called Kiriath Arba. And Arba was the strongest, was one of the last and the strongest of the Anakim. But by the time Caleb was through with him, the name of the place had been changed to, I think, Hebron. All right? Now, this is what I'm talking about. Why did that happen? Caleb said, simply, because I followed the Lord my God fully. At the age of 85, he walked up to Moses. He said, you know this matter, nobody today is that. 45 years ago, we discussed this thing. Today, 45 years after, my strength is the same.
God has preserved me all these years. He said, for going out and for going to battle, he said, the strength I have is exactly the same. So he said to Joshua, give me the command. Let me go and take this mountain. Why did he have the strength? Because he followed the Lord, his God, fully. So we began to analyze, what are the things that are entailed in following God fully? So we said there are four ways by which you follow God. We said, number one, God has his word. When you see the word, word in Psalm 119, it's actually referring to the promises of God. So let's take the word for today, promises. That God has promises. If you adhere to his promises, like David will say, quicken me according to thy word. That is, according to thy promise to thy servant. That is, revive me. That is, God has promises. Then we say God has what we call precepts. What are precepts? These are principles. Even though he doesn't give a command about something, we know the way he reasons. We know the way he thinks. For example, the one that has become my pet project in recent times. The first day I heard it, I knew it did not make sense. People said that you do this, then God will do this back for you. Like trade by barter between you and God. Nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your hand. The first day I heard it, I said, this cannot be correct. It can't be correct. Because it's totally against the principle of grace. I didn't have a commandment concerning it, but I knew it could not be correct. It's called the precepts of God. There are things you hear. That's why people ask elders for counsel. This afternoon, my wife called me and said, there's something I wanted to do. I want to do it like this, like this, like this. What do you think? I said, no. There was no commandment about it. But I explained to her the precepts, the principles. So when God gives you principles and you walk by it, you are following his precepts, and that's part of following God fully. Then we said there are commandments. What are commandments? Those are the ones that are clear. Honor thy father and thy mother that it might be well with you. And the Bible says that was the first commandment with a promise. There are things that are clear. Do not forsake the gathering together of the brethren, as the custom of some is. It is clear. It tells you, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. It is clear. There are things that are completely clear in the scriptures. You don't just close your eyes to them and blatantly disobey them. God's commandments. Then we said there's what they call what? Testimonies. What are testimonies? They are your personal religion. Are you getting what I'm saying? Things that is okay for everybody to do, but it's not okay for you to do. My wife was saying that there are some people watch TV a lot. I said, if I do it, television will blow. I just can't. Not because there's a commandment. The devil's box, like they used to say those days. The men who said it's the devil's box, they are now inside the devil's box. So let's leave all this devil's box matter. But there are things that are personal commandments. There are men you will never find at a social gathering. It's not because it is ungodly. Jesus used to go there. It's their personal commandment. There are things some people don't eat. What's his name? John the Baptist. He has some personal issues that Jesus did not observe. Yes. The man was fasting every day. Jesus ate every day. Apart from those 40 days. In which he was in the presence of God. He ate every day. John the Baptist did not know how to taste wine. Jesus went to a party and drank like normal people. Some of you won't believe it today. You give him gouda, he will drink it. It's not against you. Look. Yes, it was John the Baptist that was afraid. Jesus was not afraid of anything. So this demon of Bacchus, he could not come near where Jesus was drinking. Everybody had his issues. John the Baptist was wearing locust, camel, a goat skin, or whatever. Jesus, when he died, soldiers were fighting over his suit. You can imagine how John the Baptist smelled like. When Jesus was through with being anointed by Mary, uncle, the odor used to fill the whole house. So Judas said, my God, if to say we sell this odor. Money. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm trying to bring out an issue here. John the Baptist had what he called his personal commandments. They are his testimonies. And you may laugh all you want. If John had mistakenly behaved like Jesus did, he would have died early. You must understand that. Some people think it's lack of understanding. No! That's his life. There were commandments concerning the Nazarite. There was no understanding that could take you away from it. It's just that Jesus came as a high priest after a new order. Are you getting my point? So his life was different. Please follow what I'm saying. So John the Baptist lived. In fact, I was telling my wife the other day, there are some things we say, we're discussing, how could people do like that? I said, listen, don't tell me how could people do like that. You are doing like this because of the generation in which God brought you up. If you were a Christian 40 years ago, you couldn't wear jewelry. Yes, I know it was not the commandment of God. I know. But if you wore it in that generation, it's a sign that you are indeed carnal. No, listen. You have to know how to judge things. You say, those days, yes, I know. I'm not saying it is right. I mean, you get what I'm saying? But I'm just saying that there's a way you step into a generation. Listen, Joshua entered the promised land before the rest of Israel. If Joshua had entered one day earlier, it would have been because he refused his duties before God, even though he had faith. The first day my wife was coming to my house, that is, my parents, I told her, one thing you won't wear is trousers. I know you wear it. My mother will find out that you wear it. But the first day she sees you, it must not be on you. Before you give an impression, say, okay now. Welcome. And sit down. You are welcome. You won't know why everybody is looking at you funny. You won't understand the reason. First, establish your character first. Then you can now prove to my mother that this is not Christianity. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, why did I use all of that to explain? That there are testimonies. Please, go and listen to that series. All right? I took about 2 or 3 days talking about following God fully. How to follow God fully. How do you follow God fully? You adhere to all of these parts of the Word of God. A lot of Christians want to follow God only by his promises. God has said, I will never lack. I will never lack. The same God said, if you don't walk, you won't eat. So you see, he has what? Promises. No good thing will live without from them that walk upright. Is that not a promise? But there's a precept that goes along. He has certain precepts. A lot of Christians, they are very common. New January 1st, or December 31st. This coming year, it is your year of breakthrough. What you didn't ask yourself, Pastor, you said the same thing last year. 2 years ago, that was what you said. Is the pastor lying? No, he's not lying. Those are the promises of God. But the manifestation has been hindered because you have been breaking the rule with precepts, concerning commandments, and concerning your testimonies. Are you getting my point? Now, I just summarized what I talked about 2 or 3 days, all right? So that I can make the point I want to make now. I said, number one source of real problems in the lives of Christians, all right, is what? Lack of knowledge. I went through all of that to emphasize the fact that when we're talking about knowledge, we are not talking about knowing the geographical address of God in the third heavens. I've seen people, talk about God, there are 16 planes beyond this plane. There's a plane in which the angels that fly there, they wear black. Then the plane in which the angels that go beyond that, they wear white. Then before you can traverse that, you have to go through some certain days of fasting before you can descend. Listen, that is a kind of knowledge that has nothing to your effectiveness on the earth. And that's why God does not teach it.